The ANC are experts in social engineering, or so it would appear, and they are continuing in their merry way, now bringing it into the workplace with one of the bastions that are fighting and have continued to fight this kind of social engineering is Solidarity. The head of the Solidarity Research Institute, Connie Mulder, has been crunching the numbers on what the latest trick from the ANC would mean to the workplace. And my goodness, there's some pretty hectic implications which we're going to explore today. Connie, thanks as always for joining us. How much time do you actually spend doing the research yourself, or do you have a team around you who do all the number crunching?
No, I have a team, but due to being an NGO, I do actually spend a lot of time doing it myself. So this is one of the things that I did myself, but my team does some other things more on the research, well, in the education space or on the economic space as well, which is coming on the 12th of June. More research regarding these racial policies. But this one was me and I think Myrtle was in the team as well.
Now, it's interesting that you mentioned the economy because we've just had the latest GDP figure out today and the economy grew by 0.1%. If you work it back, we're growing at our population, it's 1.5%. So we're just going backwards at a rapid rate. But the ANC is doubling down on social engineering, the latest, though, bringing it into the economic environment, into employment equity, and really threatening some serious fines if companies don't comply with this. Just unpack for us what their ideology is, and then perhaps the implications.
Yes, so the reason for our report is that the Minister of Labour once again published, they call it sectoral targets, which is basically the minister telling workplaces in the whole country what the color of their employees should be. They've started in 2023 by amending the law to allow the minister to publish sectoral targets. And then we had a fight and a dust-up, and it ended with a settlement, which was sort of reasonable, telling you can set these targets, but they need to be subject to some common sense grounds, like if the qualified people do not exist in the designated group, then you can't punish a company for not employing somebody. If you, just as an example, if you're applying for a position as a doctor, you need to be qualified as a doctor. Otherwise, there's no way. And those populations look vastly different than the pure economically active population, which they've been using until that point. Now, the economic active population is all the adults who are employed or unemployed combined. And then on the 15th of April this year, they once again published sectoral targets, and it led to the same absurdities that we saw in 2023, with companies who are going to have a very hard time complying with these targets. But the catch is, in these regulations itself, they state companies must use the minister's sectoral targets when determining their own EE plans, and it's not all rainbows and unicorns. If you don't comply with this, there are some serious fines. From the 1st of September, companies need to start complying with these targets. And if you're not compliant, they can fine you up to 10% of revenue or a couple of million rand. So it's significant, and there's a lot of real threat behind these sectoral targets. And then they just lead to complete absurdities, as we've seen in 2023 and in 2024, and we've seen once again.
Is anybody anywhere else in the world applying these kind of issues? In other words, you have so many black people in your population, you've got to have that number of black people on your swimming team, or take that through to the working environment as your teachers or doctors or whatever the case might be.
So other countries do have some similar policies. I think America's DEI is the closest. And Malaysia has a similar sort of policy, but they're not nearly at the level that South Africa is doing it, and not at the granular level that South Africa attempts. We're reaching absurd levels where you need to be 80% black, 9% colored, 9% white, and 2% Indian at almost all lower levels. Meaning we're talking about they call it skilled and professionally qualified. But it realistically corresponds with the C and D bands of the Patterson scale. And then you've got senior management, which is the E band, and top management, which is the F band. And these newest targets are extensive. The part that does worry us, and I think we should be worried as a country, is we've been sold that this is a temporary redress measure meant to redress the past, and that it will at some point come to an end. But in February 2024, the government published sectoral regulations, and there they stipulated one little paragraph that is extremely worrying, that says once you reach this representation, you may never regress. Meaning, if you've now got you've appointed 80% black people in your company, 9% colored, 9% white, 2% Indian. If a black person resigns, you have to replace them with a black person. You can't just appoint who you want. So once you've reached the target, you may never ever go back. Now, that's not a temporary system. That's a system that's going to be manipulating the labor market in perpetuity. And it's a massive cost of compliance that you're putting on companies that simply we can't afford as a country anymore.
So what are the implications? If you just have a look at the broad marketplace, who's going to lose, who's going to win?
So the first thing that we need to study is these aren't our numbers. We didn't go do research for those numbers. This is the Commission for Employment Equity's 24th annual report, which they publish every year. You would see that it's the one where they've got the four columns. It's African, colored, Indian, white. And then they would say how many white males are overrepresented at this, or how many black males are overrepresented in the public service, for example, at the top management levels. And we just married that report with the newest sectoral targets. And that means we didn't think, we didn't do any research to get these numbers. This is their numbers. We just did the simple multiplication sum that you need to do. So there are two ways for companies to reach these numbers. The one is that you can theoretically, in a best case scenario, grow into them. Meaning if you've got 50% white males and they should be 25%, if the sector doubles, then no one needs to be replaced and you will have 25% white males. So we determined what growth is necessary to reach these targets. And on an average, across all 18 sectors that they've identified and all occupational levels that they've identified, we would need on average about a 38% growth in employment to reach these targets without having to replace people. Now, as you said, with GDP today, that looks extremely unrealistic. There's no way that South Africa can grow into these targets. When you break it down into smaller segments, it gets more absurd. If you're looking at skilled artisans, well, that's artisans, etc., skilled at the electricity supply level, that sector needs to grow 303% in order for no white male to then have to be replaced. And that means we went to the second option, which is for a company that needs to comply, they can either grow into it or they will need to look at replacing their existing labor force at some point. And when you're looking at replacement, one of the big losers is the non-designated group, which is a nice way of saying white males, because it's the only people who are non-designated are white males. Where on the netto, you're looking at about 70,000 white males that will need to be replaced for companies to actually hit the minister's targets in the next 5 years. But the bigger surprise is that you would also have to replace 112,000 women of all colors with men in order to hit the minister's targets. So we've once again reached the absurdity of if you're going to try and plan the economy from an office in the union buildings, it's just not going to work. And that is something that we've seen time and time again, is the ANC keep on making these regulations and laws for the country that they want to have and not the country that they have. One where women tend to do different jobs than men because there's a difference. Men go into mining and construction at a much higher rate, and women go into education and healthcare, etc., at a much higher rate. But for the ANC bureaucrat somewhere, this does not matter. People are exactly the same, and that means they simply state women need to be replaced by men in especially in education and in healthcare. And we're looking, it doesn't sound like a lot, but if you're looking at the skilled level, which is the C band for the Patterson scale, now that's not rich people, that's just above entry level. We're talking about it's about one out of every three teachers, female teachers, and one out of three female nurses, and two out of five teachers that need to be replaced by men for companies to hit the minister's targets. Now, that's quite simply stated, that's absurd. That's not a country that we think we should live in. When we're looking at white males, At the C-band level, that's skilled level, it's more than half of white males are in agriculture, in mining, in manufacturing, and in information technology and professional services that will need to be replaced for companies to hit these targets. Now, I'm not saying companies are going to start layoffs en masse on race, but it just shows that it is going to be impossible for companies to actually comply with these targets. They're simply not going to be able to. And the Department of Labor is threatening with severe penalties and increased labor inspectors. But they don't answer the elephant in the room who's asking the question, how are we meant to hit these targets? It's just not possible.
I was talking with a gent recently who worked for a big banking institution, and he is in his 50s, and he said that they got close to the end of the financial year, and somebody there did an audit, and they laid off more than 5 dozen senior managers, all white males, because they needed to comply with numbers. Now, I couldn't believe that an organization, and I actually thought this was quite a forward-looking organization, of that kind would do it. But this is a very real issue that is now being faced by companies. How do you suggest they deal with it, excepting for doing what this one did and got rid of all that institutional memory and brought in people who had the skin colors that the bureaucrats wanted?
See, and I think that's the point. Is you would have the Department of Labor constantly stating, no, they don't know why we're scared or we're being alarmist, etc. And then we've asked them. We said, all right. They would say no one's going to get fined if you're not going to lay off anyone, and no one's going to get fined. So we told them, oh, that's wonderful. And then remove the fines from the law. Why are they there if you're not planning on using them? And then you would be met with radio silence. And the same thing, and it's something that should worry us a lot more than I think people are worried at the moment, is in our initial settlement with government, which was made an order of the court, which they very conveniently just completely reneged on. There was one paragraph in there which said no one may be laid off due to this, and that would be a justifiable ground for a company, meaning you would tell the department, I can't reach this target without laying off people based on skin color, so I'm not going to do it. And that paragraph was removed from these newest regulations explicitly. And that does beg the question, when you look at it in that context, it's quite clear what they want you to do, and they will tell you that, oh, well, you can't do that, and it's going to be illegal, but you see it popping out in other ways, meaning the moment retrenchments are announced, suddenly race starts playing a role into who gets retrenched and who doesn't. Or exactly as you stated, when we realize we're in trouble, we would suddenly look at reducing the labor force somehow that we're employing just to not be non-compliant with these numbers. And that is, okay, that is a major, major issue that we're worried about. And our reaction to this is, and well, firstly, we've already taken the minister to court for contempt of court, because they signed a settlement, but that was made an order of a court in 2023. And in true ANC style, they chose to once again completely renege on a true South African solution that we reached, a negotiated settlement with international organizations, with the CCMA here and the courts, and they just decided it doesn't fit them, so they're not going to comply with that. So they've already been taken to court for contempt of court, and then we're taking these regulations on just the irrationality and absurdity of once again trying to regulate the labor market like this. And you can see it playing out in the simple sense that we're talking about having to replace nurses and teachers to comply with targets that some apparatchik somewhere has decided should be fine. When people freely choose, they choose different jobs. They do different jobs based on their gender. And even if you just look at the age distribution, white people tend to be much older than your average South African citizen, which means they are going to be overrepresented in your more senior levels in the labor force, because once you get 20 years experience, you tend to at least be in a more senior position. But there is no consideration of any of these factors at any level. It's just economically active population and nothing else. And you're making it impossible for companies to comply with this. And then if only it were impossible, and then companies could go, oh, well, at least we tried. But there are some serious teeth in this piece of legislation, and they've They've thus far, the defense has been, we haven't used the teeth, but we're not willing to put them away. And that means you should assume that they're going to use it. Don't assume that they're not going to use a piece of legislation.
But Connie, this seems to be a practice across the economy. Expropriation without compensation, yes, but we won't ever take anybody's property away. And that line has been swallowed by so many, what some people call useful idiots. From this perspective, from where you're sitting right now, what are you wanting to do, or what can you do to resist or to defend the solidarity, your members of the solidarity group, from the potential implications?
So first, the two people who swallow this, they need to remember that North Korea is officially called the Democratic People's Republic of Korea. And that means if you see that as the epitome of democracy, you need to seriously get your head examined. And that means don't fall for what a policy is called. Go see what can it do and look at the outcomes. And for these policies, it's the same thing. There's a reason that everything is in that legislation and they haven't removed it. And the pieces that they have removed is also by reason. So what can we do? And the first thing is we're going to court, obviously. We're going to litigate against this. And we've had great success in the past. So that's the one leg that we're definitely going to have to follow, to just once again show the absurdity of bean counting like this the government is doing. But the second part is we are thinking that the ANC is not governing anymore, and that alone anymore. And that means there are GNU partners who are looking at their cabinet publishing numbers like this that says we need to replace white males and women or risk non-compliance. And there, I think it might be time to start once again making your voice heard and saying, but hold up a bit. Why are we trying to regulate the economy like this? And let's open the discussion. And that's what we've said from the very start is, let's open the discussion about what does economic redress actually look like, and when do these temporary, which I'm putting air quotes, temporary legislation end? Because what we've seen with this legislation is the goal is quite noble. The goal is to create black economic inclusion, and it has almost exclusively created black economic exclusion. It has increased black unemployment specifically. It's more than doubled since 2008. It's increased poverty for the whole South Africa, and it's increased inequality, especially within the black group. Most of the inequality is now driven by inequality within your black race group. It's not between racial groups anymore. And that means we need to have an honest discussion on a political level as well that says, well, this policy just simply is not doing what it should do. It is enriching a small elite, but it's at a massive cost to the rest of us. And it's time to reconsider it. We're not saying do nothing about the abject poverty that we're living in South Africa. But we all know, Alec, you know, we know the only way out of this is growth. And I think the folly of this is shown where if you take every single white male who needs to be replaced to match the minister's numbers, and you replace them with an unemployed black person, then black unemployment goes from 36.9% to 36.6%. So it's a negligible impact. It's not gonna solve the problem. And we know this. You can't redistribute a country into wealth. You need to grow. And we need to start asking serious questions about, are these policies actually promoting growth, which would lead to more employment, more income for everyone in South Africa? Or are they enriching a small elite at the cost? And as long as the ANC is obsessively focusing on what skin color the people with jobs are, rather than how do we get the people without jobs into them, we're not going to move forward.
And just to close off with, you did mention that we now have a government of national unity. So presumably, we would see those non-ANC members of the government of national unity kicking back against this. Have you seen any reflection of that?
We've seen the Freedom Front and the DA both start to sort of grumble about what is this exactly. But I think these sectoral targets sort of flew under the radar for a bit. The ANC is starting to become masters of governing by ambush, where they publish something and then quickly try and get it through before anyone notices. And hopefully we can just sort of raise the flag and say, look, we need to focus on this. I don't want to live in a country where cricket teams get kicked out of finals because they used the wrong type of black bowler, or where netball teams don't make the final because they had too many black players on the field. And it is ironic. The report opens with a quotation from the ANC's own policy document on affirmative action, which says what we should guard against with this policy is becoming a nation with calculators in our heads who constantly walk around seeing which group is represented how much in what level. And that is exactly what we have become. It's not going to help us move forward. It's not going to help alleviate any poverty. And ultimately, we're going to keep on enriching a small elite at a massive cost. And from our perspective, we just can't afford that anymore. 0.1% growth, etc. We need to now make South Africa investor friendly. And we're one speech away from 4-5% growth, Alex. And we've got an ANC that steadfastly refuses to deliver that speech.
Connie Mulder is the head of the Solidarity Research Institute, and I'm Alec Hogg from BizNews.com.